This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I don't know if you care that they are now making a call that Trump has won Michigan. I don't know if you care or not, because you have like a pool going for the final electoral college count. That would actually be super neat. But like, I feel like the decision already was made. So if you're still keeping up on states, I thought it would update you.
I heard some people calling for stop the count. So
oh my God.
They were like, no, we don't.
Oh my gosh. All right.
This is where the other team gets mad, and they're like, you're just supposed to run out the clock and take a knee.
Yeah, dude, what are you doing here?
Stop
it. That would be amazing. I realize you can't because of the down ballot races. But that would be amazing if Arizona's like, we're done. Like, we're not counting anymore. It doesn't matter. Whatever.
Can I be real quick?
Yes.
How long will we be able to go where we can start making jokes and we all laugh together? Or are we past that now, and that it's no longer
a chance of politics?
Was there ever a time where everybody could laugh together about politics?
Like when Gerald Ford was always falling over and people were like, what's that guy doing?
Okay, all right.
Like, you know.
Other than that, it's too offensive, huh? Our identities are split like that.
I'm not kidding. I don't know if you're gonna make it back to that time, because some of the people will think your joke's really funny, other people will be like, do you know what happened to my sister or whatever? And you're like, okay, never mind.
So what you're saying then is, on this show, we should just not do it, because we don't want to get into that. Because amongst us, we can crack jokes with each other, right? We all,
yes.
And Alec, you know, we all can do that. But I don't want to lose a listener because it's something like that.
Exactly. Look, I've talked about this before. My degree in college is in political science. I care about this a lot, but this isn't my political podcast, so unless somebody directly asks me, don't feel like it's particularly relevant.
If that's the case, if you don't want jokes at either side, then we'll keep it at that. The other thing, Kevin, is why don't they make Penn stronger to not be able to break these tips of Penn's off? Because I do it too easy.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk about the Mavericks.
Yeah.
Okay. They do still have a winning record, but I wanted to go through a couple of things, and I wanted to see what you thought about this. I was reading an article in the Dallas Morning News by Brad Townsend, and one of the things he laid out at the very beginning, and I have to admit, I hadn't really thought about that. PJ Washington out tonight against the Bulls. The last I saw, Derek Lively was questionable. Keep an eye out on that. Just keep an eye out on if that turns into a bigger deal. But one of the things Townsend wrote that I was like, okay, that's fair. In hindsight, the Mavericks' early inconsistencies are unsurprising, given that Luka missed most of training camp. Klay Thompson, Najee Marshall, Quentin Grimes, and Spencer Dinwiddie are all new to the rotation this year. It's only 7 games. Do you accept that as a potential for the slower start, or do you look at it and still think effort more than situational issues they're running into?
Yeah, I think more effort.
Okay.
This is the same team that just played, I don't know, 20 playoff games together.
Yes.
You added Klay Thompson, and I get that is an adjustment. You added Najee Marshall. That's a little bit of an adjustment. But for them to, I want to super love Luka. I want to love him the way that I loved Dirk or Rolando Blackman. And I do like him a lot. But man, does he irritate me with at times his lack of effort intentionally. It's like, I get Dirk wasn't the best defender. I get at times I rooted for a team that the other team was better than. But for him to intentionally give lack of effort on a consistent basis, and you know that he's better than that.
Yeah.
It's really tough as a fan of his, as more of a fan of the Mavericks, to just be like, oh, well, let's not point to that. Let's not point to the effort given on a possession-to-possession basis. Let's point towards, well, he didn't have training camp. So what? Nobody tries in training camps anymore anyways.
Okay.
I mean, you played Milwaukee Bucks. I know they're off to a horrible start.
They are.
Yeah. I mean, Lillard and Giannis didn't play in that game here. I mean, it wasn't like they're a bad example because they're off to a horrible start. Let me go back and look at see how many minutes Phoenix was playing together. They only have one loss. Let me go look at Cleveland. I bet they weren't playing 30 minutes a night in the preseason to get ready for this 8-0 start to the season.
I just hope shots fall better. Look, you know, that's what I want Clay to be that version. I want, and he's been good, not great. And I'm not going to blame the season on him. I love having him around.
So I'm going to go to Luka specifically for that. Luka's ability to finish and shoot well has been off across the board.
Yeah, what is it?
He's shooting, think about this, between 3 and 10 feet from the basket, he's shooting 44%.
Is that good?
No.
Bad.
He's at career lows in shots from 10 to 16 feet, shooting about 39%, and 16 feet to the three-point distance. So the whole point is, like, all of the shots kind of broken down between your layup or dunk, between that and your three-pointer. 39% and then 29%. So if you're looking at mid to long range, Luka's at a career low in both. And then he added this. Take this for whatever it's worth. I know he's not, again, we talk about this all the time. I know he's not going to come out and be like, you're right, I'm probably done for. You should give up on the season. But this is what he said. It's just, I think it's rhythm. I'll get it. Don't worry. I've been feeling more and more improved every day. It was a tough back-to-back to lose. Got to go get some rest.
Okay.
And so when he says he's been feeling it more and more, you could argue that that's on a shooting stroke, or you could argue that maybe his leg is feeling better.
Yeah, I don't know. That's you making a point. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think you put out which one is it. I don't know. He doesn't like talking to the media.
Fair.
He's not going to engage at all with the media. And so he will say a comment and then you don't really get follow ups with him. I mean, when he's not going well, he'll just get really mad at Tim McMahon. You know, like, and Sayers like, all right, man. Like,
yes.
Good. I hope you do good. I'm sorry that we saw you screaming at a ref and not getting back on defense. I guess we're just going to ignore that.
And I'm not panicking and freaking out about anything. It's just that I'm not used to seeing Luka not have that touch or be able to even find it within a game where he's just like, oh, I found it early or I hadn't had it. And then I found it all of a sudden. It's kind of inconsistent right now. And I'm just not used to seeing that from Luka.
That is very fair.
Which is... Obviously, he set a hard standard to meet all the time. He's that good where his numbers are there and you're like, oh, it's always going to be this good.
So I can throw out a positive for you, but still something to keep an eye out on. There's been concerns that Klay Thompson joining the starting lineup would be a step backwards defensively. And we'll get to a little bit more of that in just a second. But Dallas thus far is 7th in defensive rating, 5th in defensive field goal percentage, and 5th in three-point percentage.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Percentage defensively. Jason Kidd said PJ Washington is having to carry too much of the defensive burden because I know something to watch out for is, I know it looks good now, but can Luka, Kyrie, and Klay work together long-term defensively? Because the early numbers say yes, but then Jason Kidd steps out and says, it's because PJ is doing all kinds of stuff. I think tonight might be an interesting game to kind of see what it looks like without him. Do you think those three can work together long-term defensively, or has it just been, oh, so far so good, but wait?
I agree with Kidd on the front of if PJ and Derek Lively are doing their jobs together.
Yes.
But whenever what we saw against Indiana is the offense couldn't keep up with its end of the bargain whenever they had to be out there defensively. And when they're out there together, you're expecting, you're hoping, you're anticipating that they're putting the ball in at an efficient rate and that that's going
to
be the thing that
not to start
overwhelms
the game.
An opponent.
That is true.
Yeah, so that's the reason I say no.
Like, I'm okay with the first 5 minutes, those three guys being out. It's not helping you at all offensively. That's the tough part. You get to 6 minutes left, and you've scored 10 points through the first 6 minutes of the game. Well, now you're on a pace to only score 20 for the first quarter. Now, I know that they're doing a little bit better than that, but that's the weird thing to me. Can they survive? Yeah. If you have the best offensive unit on the court to the opposing team, and you should. If you're looking at Luka and Kyrie and Klay, and I get you're with PJ Washington and Gafford, if those are your two other starters tonight, one of them will be out. But you're like, all right, that group should score close to 20 points in the first 6 minutes of the game. And then
yes.
We start making our rotations, and they don't have to all three play together a lot. But it's really weird. They are really bad together offensively. You could argue, which one is worse? Are they worse together offensively, or are they worse together defensively?
Okay, so to that point, thus far, the offense has been all kinds of mediocre in pretty much every category that you can think of. Their offensive rating, 15th. Scoring average, 17th. Assist averages, 17th. Field goal percentage, 18th, which I'm not going to lie, is actually higher than I would have guessed. They're 11th in three-point percentage, again, higher than I would have guessed, and 23rd in free throw percentage. So there's nothing right now offensively that this team is excelling at. And you were talking about the starters. I don't disagree with that at all. Another issue early on has been the bench. So going into that Pacers game, Rick Carlisle talked about the Mavericks' depth. They've actually been outscored off the bench by 42 points this season. And what concerns me even more is I know he's not just a pure scoring threat or anything like that, but you've seen heavy, heavy Derek Lively minutes off the bench that you would think would hopefully help you kind of mitigate that. But their bench has not been scoring. They outscored Indiana in that game, and that was the second game all season. The bench outscored the opposing bench. This was supposed to be, and
I still like
it's
the
seven
depth
games
of this team.
And definitely still can be, but just early, if you're frustrated, not only the starters, but the bench has not carried its weight either.
I think they're trying to figure out who's going to be the one to kind of lead that group still. You know, like Dinwiddie, I was very happy with him driving to the basket and trying to force points in the game against Indiana. And there were some games that he hasn't even played in. So I think they're still trying to figure out. I agree with Mike.
Yeah, Hardy's now sitting the bench and just watching basketball games.
I think the kid's just trying to figure out which potion to put together, one works, which one's function. And that comes from just more games and them looking at their numbers to go, oh, these are the efficient ones.
And once again, Kleba destroys you because he can't play basketball at an NBA level healthy. It's too physical for his body to take. He plays his butt off when he's on the court. Not taking a shot at how hard he plays. I'm not taking a shot at that he is a player you want on your team. The issue is he's never available. So as we've gone to this small ball thing, which got you back into a blowout game, and then you saw it gave up 132 points, not just that, but you played a lot of small ball. One of the issues is the guy who you kind of want to play small ball with if you need to for 5 minutes is Maxi Kleba. He's only going to play in 50% of your games because of health.
That's true.
And then out of those 50% of the games he plays in, 25% of the games, he's not even going to be healthy. He's going to be playing through a major injury that's bugging him, and you get to the playoffs, and you're always dealing with, well, he's hurt, but he's going to try to play. And so I do think that Nico, it's only seven games. I'm going to let this thing play out more. I do like some things I'm seeing. I'm not quitting on this team at all. I still think it has a great chance to go to the Western Conference Finals again. But I do think you have to start looking at the reliability of Maxi Kleba. And if I'm going to have a young Derek Lively who's going to miss time while he's growing into his body to try to become a man, and I do like his game, but he's still in a child's body trying to become a man, and it just takes time. He's only 20, 21 years old. I can't have Maxi Kleba as a reliable player because he's just not reliable. He's proven over a 10-year career he will not be reliable in his health. So I need to look at maybe another 6'9" to 6'10" guy that maybe isn't a center but can play kind of that small ball position that I need if I want to go in a different direction with, let's say, PJ Washington and that guy on the court where I'm going to be a different five spread out, a guy who can kind of shoot and stuff like that. We know, you know, Dwight Powell can't shoot, so he doesn't fall into that category. So I look at this team and I go, okay, it stinks that we're already seeing flaws 7 games into the season, and we're seeing, doesn't Luka, does he have 2 or 3 technicals already? Like, I mean,
I'm not positive. Wait,
I know he already has 2. He might have 3. And so, you're just like, already, dude?
Yeah.
Like, this attitude hasn't changed at all. And I just think I have to accept that he's going to be a person that I can't love. I'm just going to have to like a lot and deal with his attitude.
Yeah.
And
we're all hoping what Cooperstein said with, at least Sean and RJ, at the beginning of the season, that you will see a less complaining, more mature Luka. We were all like, yes, please, please, please.
And Corey just looked it up.
It's 3.
It's already 3 in 7 games.
No ejections.
Yeah, I know, but like, you start, what happens is you get to game 62 and you're like, all right, man, 2 more technicals and he's suspended for a game. You know, I mean, that's just who he is. He's not going to change. I don't think he's going to change the rest of his life in that. And so I look at this team. I like this team. I want to make sure people understand I do like this team. I think Kyrie has had some really great moments. He still has a really great game. He can get cold on you. That's going to happen. But if you're going to rely on defense and you're not going to have Derek Lively out there consistently because of he's still growing up body-wise, and then Maxi Kleber is going to miss half the season on you again because he's part of your defensive weaponry off the bench. Dinwiddie is a bad shooter, in my opinion, for the position he plays. But then Hardy is an undersized guy in the position that he plays. Quentin Grimes is right now not fitting in on this team. We'll see if it gets better. Those are things that Jason Kidd and Nico are going to have to see how it plays out. I think Dinwiddie, Hardy, and Grimes, who's the one guy that steps out of those three and shows that they should be a consistent guy on the team. And then the big guy rotation, if Maxi Kleber's a part of it, how can you ever rely on that dude? All it takes is a game of basketball for him to just go into the ice bath.
Unfortunately, injuries have been an issue there for sure.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.